The one thing that I want to talk about today is the reason and purpose of this physical existence, your physical body and your life, and what it's designed to do, what you're designed to do with it. We're born into a place where we really get deceived, because it's easy to be deceived, because our senses are so pertinent. What we can see, taste, touch, smell, and hear is so impactful, and it's just so impactful that we believe that to be the reality, and we can't see any other reality. But if you look closely and you observe yourself, you realize that you're not the body. You aren't the body. And it's very obvious that you're not the body. The body changes. The body reshapes itself, remolds itself into a different thing every 11 months. All your cells die and are reborn. So you have a new set of cells every 11 months. So this body is not even the same body that you were born with at month 11 of your life. It changes so rapidly. So something that changes so frequently could not be the cause of itself. So this body isn't the cause of itself. So what is the cause of the body? Science has found that the body is made of the subconscious mind, or built by the subconscious mind. So your mind, your body, is the unconscious or subconscious mind. This is what we know for sure. So the body isn't you, but we believe it to be, because it's how we sense things. It has sight, taste, touch, smelling, and hearing. But if you close your eyes, you can reproduce everything that you see in the external world in your internal world, which means that this external world doesn't have an existence independent of itself. It has an existence that is tied, at least, to the internal world. Anything that can be recreated by the mind is a second cause. Anything that can be recreated by the mind is a second cause of the mind. So, what do I mean by this? A car. Cars are still here. The reason cars are still here, even though the guy who created the car is dead, is because the guy who created the car isn't dead. The car was always here. He was just the mind that brought it to the forefront and brought it into a physical manifested existence. And everybody else paid attention to it and impressed it upon their mind. And then their mind carries it around as well. We all have cars. But it doesn't happen until a mind, or a few minds, impress themselves with their idea, the idea of a car, or transporting themselves quicker from point A to B. So the reason that I'm talking today is we have to get rid of the idea that the body is ourselves. And the reason why is because if we believe this body to be ourselves, we misuse it. We misuse it. Our identity is at effect and subject to everything else external to it. We're affected to the weather and people and relationships and circumstances and situations and economies. So we're in the midst of the chain reaction, and we think that the chain reaction is out of our control, not realizing where the chain reaction began, because the chain reaction began in the mind. First, it was the mind of God, and the mind of God is simply a subconscious essence of life. And that subconscious essence of life came from no thing. So the no thing, if you look, observe the subconscious essence of life, that which creates all things, we can see that it's intelligent. We can see that it has an element of personalness, because you're here. We can see that it has life, because life is all around. We can see that it has power to create, because creation is happening now. We can see that it is light. We can also see that it is beauty and it's love, because the only thing that love can do is give of itself. That's the nature of love. And if you look in nature, there's nothing in nature that it desires to take. Everything in nature is giving in its own special way. And nothing's on its mind except its function. A tree grows and it produces seeds after seeds every season. Hundreds and thousands and millions of seeds every single year. So what is the source of that creation for this physical tree? It's not a physical existence that produces the physical effects of a tree. It is something invisible. So in the mind of God lives beauty and love. And that beauty and love is expressed in physicality as everything that we see out here. If we look at how harmonized nature is, we can observe how the mind of God is. So when we say the mind of God, what am I referring to? I'm not referring to any man in the sky. I'm referring to that which is the substance of everything. And that which is the substance of everything is first no thing. And then next you can call the offspring of the no thing, or the begotten son of the no thing. You can call that energy. The energy. Energy, it cannot be created. And since it cannot be created, that means it doesn't actually exist in a physical world. And it can't be destroyed. The reason it can't be destroyed is because it was never created. But it is, nevertheless. How is that possible? Well, it's outside of the confines of time and space. So there's no way to objectify it. There's no way to quantify it. There's no way to touch it, feel it. It just is. So we can say that spirit, or that this energy, is beingness. It just is. In order to be, you have to be the principle of beingness. So anything that is must use energy, must go through energy in order to come through and manifest. So the shape that this energy takes, or the subconscious essence takes, is the mind. The mind, the distinctive quality of the mind or energy, is thought. So thought is the origin of all particular things. And the trees, the wind, the air, the fire, the ether, the earth, water, fire, ether, and air. These are the elements that are used to display the mind. These are the elements used to display the mind. So the mind is the shaper and molder and the potter's house of all things. Energy is all that exists. There is nothing else but energy. And you are that energy. That energy is intelligent, is personal, and is self-generated. It's generated only from the no thing that we will never know. We cannot know the no thing. We can only know the effects of the no thing. So, what does all this have to do with you and your body? Your body is not what you think it is. We think our bodies can give us something. We think our bodies can give us something substantial. We believe our partial existence in this relative perspective, this relative reality, is all that is. The truth. The truth is that you aren't the body. You are eternal. You're eternal. Being eternal, you're outside of the confines of time and space, and therefore you are the cause of the time and space. The confines of time and space hold all things particular, but it is only reproducing itself by the power of the dominating mind, the one mind, You are this mind. How are you this mind? Because you simply are. Since you are, you have to be mind or beingness. You have to be the principle of existence itself. The mind is everywhere simultaneously at once. It has no boundaries. That means that its vibration is automatically increased to its absolute. Anything in comparison to infinity is nothing. So this body, in comparison to the mind that created the body, the infinite that created the body, is nothing. This body is nothing. It is no thing in comparison to the infinite. Because the infinite doesn't know it exists. Infinite never touches finite. Infinite stays infinite. The finite, which is the world of pleasure, the world of differentiation, the world of forms, which is beautiful because it's simply a mirror of the mind. God wanted to know himself. And the only way he could know himself is if he had a mirror that he married and became. And that marriage happens within man, at the heart of man. At the heart of man, God, which is infinite, and the finite, which is the form, meet. This is the holy marriage. And it's done by man. This is why he created man. It's so that the world, the physical world, could display consciously the beauty of infinitude. The beauty of love. That is the reason your body exists. When the non-physical beingness revealed itself to me from the inside as Ra, it was transformative. It was transformative. It was. And it was simply infinite. All of my desires, all of my wants, all of my passions, it knew. It only knew them as a full-blown reality. It was the essence of full-blown reality. It was the only reality. It was the only reality. And I knew that. And since it was the only reality, and it was also love, beauty, and it was personal to me, I knew I was safe. Not only was I safe, I knew that this world was only designed for expression of love. And my body is a lamp for the infinite light to shine through to the world. The hardest part to get over is your individual mind, which is the ego, the idea of separation. Since it is personalness that rises up, it seems as if we are separate from things and other people. Because of the individual quality of spirit. So we are a point of individuality. But spirit has individualized itself And that is what we call me. When you say, when you refer to yourself, when you refer to I, when you refer to what's yours, you're referring to a point of individuality. Spirit has become individualized. Spirit has become individualized. And when spirit becomes individualized, it says, I am. And that is you. We believe that we're this body, the limited information in our conscious mind. That's what we believe ourselves to be. And until we cease to believe that and withdraw from the physical world, we can never find out our true identity. If you are to be saved from this world, you have to be born again and be born of spirit. Because you cannot stay in this world and be of this world and control and dominate this world. You'll always be at effect. You'll always fall under the spell of the world. But when you're born again into a higher realm, into a place of infinity, and you realize your infinite identity. God is your infinite identity. It's completely personal to you, and it is also everywhere and everything. You realize that everything really is one. It's a beautiful thing.